ought to be celebrating the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It should ring in our hearts. I'll tell you what. One of the men that I know that celebrates the Lord the most is Dr. Charles Rosell. And he preached a couple of weeks ago here while I was out. And this morning, he's in attendance this morning. Dr. Rosell, Miss Rosell, it's so good to see you this morning. God bless you guys. We are beginning a series of messages and a series of studies in our Sunday school this week on called 40 Days of Community. And the material that we've gotten, we've borrowed the material from Rick Warren and Saddleback Community Church out in California. And like we did 40 Days of Purpose, and that was really wonderful for our church, now we're doing 40 Days of Community. I want to encourage you this morning, if you would, to take your bulletin this morning. And if you got a bulletin this morning, you should have received one of these little note guides as well. You're going to need that this morning. And those of you who would like to take notes, we'd encourage you just to fill in the blanks. There's not too many of them, but it'll be important for you to follow along this morning. I was looking at the material, and there's a lot of material to go over this morning, but we're going to do our best to make sure that we don't give you more than you need. Having said all of that, it is so good to be in the pulpit this Sunday and to begin 2014 for me, a chance to preach. I'm so excited about that. You know, the message I'm going to share with you this morning, though, is a message that really is a counterculture message. Because in America, we value independence. And yet this message is going to talk about interdependence. But the reality is that if we learn how to build community within the church, with each other, then we're going to be better equipped to handle things like fatigue and depression and loneliness. And if we apply God's principles, God will insulate us to a great extent from those things. In America, we have this, we really value independence. We have, for example, the Declaration of Independence. We like to sing songs that speak along those themes of I've got to be me or I did it my way and that sort of thing. And we love the Lone Ranger. And if you're like me, you grew up in a home where you were taught that you need to go to work every day. You need to earn your way. You need to be as self-sufficient as you possibly can. And yet, I want to tell you, God has a different message for us in a lot of ways. But we value independence. I don't know if you heard about the 84-year-old grandmother who was a fiercely independent lady. She lived alone. And there was nobody there at home with her. She maintained her independence. Her four children, they all lived in the same hometown, and yet she rarely called them except in case of emergencies. It was with some apprehension that one morning her son drove to her house because he'd received a phone call that he needed to come over. When he arrived, his dear 84-year-old mother said to him that she had suspected that there was a burglar in her bedroom closet since she heard noises in there the night before. Well, the son looked at her and said, well, why didn't you call me? She said, well, it was late and I hated to bother you, so I just nailed the door shut and went to bed. I know some older ladies that are like that. They are, and matter of fact, there was a dear soul that lived not too far from the church, and she carried a six-shooter with her, and buddy, you better be careful if you rang the doorbell at the wrong time of night. And you just hope she always had her glasses on. But anyway, some people are just so independent. And we're prone to believe the lie that if we are self-sufficient, that we're better off, and God will do his greatest work through us being self-sufficient. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about why we need each other. And the material that I'm going to be sharing with you has been preached before, and yet hopefully, we hope that it'll have a fresh meaning in our hearts this morning, because the reality is, even though we value independence and we work hard at being self-sufficient, the reality is that the suicide rates are highest among those who seem to be taught to be so self-sufficient. And so as we look at God's Word this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Excuse me, Romans chapter 12. I want to read verse 5 to you this morning, and I'm going to ask when you find your place in God's Word, your copy of God's Word, please stand with me as we read this together. Romans chapter 12. We're looking at verse number 5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And Lord God, we pray that you might enlarge the borders of our heart this morning with your truth. And Lord, that you would call us to be a people who care about others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please go ahead and be seated. Why do we need each other? The Bible tells us that we are all one body in Christ and we belong to each other. And each of us needs all the others. That's the reality of the Christian life. When you got saved, God did not save you to set you out to be a lone ranger by yourself. But the Bible is so clear that when we get saved, we are baptized into the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is His church. And so inherent with being a Christian is being part of the family of God, being part of the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul writes to the church here and says, look, we are all one body in Christ and we belong to each other. And each of us needs all the others. God says that our connection together is not optional, but our connection is mandatory. We need each other. And there are a lot of reasons for that we need each other. But I want you to understand that from God's perspective, we need to have each other in our lives if we're ever going to fulfill the purpose that God wants for us. Now, as I said, there are a lot of reasons for that. But let me just say to you this morning that, you know, unless you are together with God's people, you really can't learn how to love. You can't learn how to forgive. You can't learn how to live a wise life unless you are with others, with God's people. Now, there are some things that you can do apart and separate from all, but really, God's highest expression of Christ-likeness in us comes about as we are together in community with others. And therefore, we are focusing for the next 40 days on building a sense of community in our church and hoping to invite others into that community, that fellowship of love. Well, let me just share with you some reasons why we need each other. Number one, and you'll want to fill the blank in if you're taking notes. Number one, I need others to walk with me. To walk with me. It's important that I have others walk with me through life. Now, as we think about this word walk, understand that the Bible speaks a lot to us about how we should live our lives. And when the scripture says that we ought to walk in a certain way, it means that we ought to live our lives in a certain fashion, a certain way. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. That is walking in Christ, walking in obedience to Christ, walking in the Spirit. That is walking in the wisdom of God, walking in love, walking in the light of God. And so when God speaks about us living our lives, He tells us that we ought to walk a certain way. And you know, the reality is that I need others to journey with me in this walk of faith. That's the way God designed it. You've been put in the body of Christ. And each member has a particular gift and talent set And each person has a particular responsibility. But the scripture is so clear that we ought to walk together. First of all, we walk together because it makes us a lot safer to walk together through the Christian life. It makes us a lot safer because we are together and we can help each other. And walking with others means that we gain support. If you're like me and you've had a chance to see some geese flying in recent days, when we were in Missouri, and I was out on the trail, I was looking up, and I'd see geese just flying across the Missouri sky. And as they're flying in that V formation. And the reason that geese fly in that V formation is because those in front create an uplift that helps those in the back. And so they fly farther together. There's an old Zambian proverb that says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. And it's true. When we're walking with others, it's a safer place to be. It's more supportive, and it's also smarter. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Proverbs 28, 26 just a moment. I want you to see this. Proverbs 28, 26. This is an interesting passage, and it speaks to us about being wise in life. Proverbs 28, verse number 26. He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. You know what happens sometimes when we walk by ourselves? When we decide to do the Christian life without the loving community of faith, without being connected intimately and personally with other believers in Christ, a funny thing happens. Somehow we get the idea that our ideas are true all the time. And if we're not careful, we can have some bad ideas. And we can get going in the wrong direction. And yet the promise is that if we have the people of God with us and we walk through life together, there's that accountability. I'll tell you, I know some people who wanted to be Lone Ranger Christians. And most of the Lone Ranger Christians that I know have some really odd ideas. And matter of fact, some of them even go out and start their own little communities and groups. And usually those folks are end up, those are the kind of people that become the leaders of these, some of these crazy groups that do some nutty things. But the Bible is so clear that only fools trust in what they alone think. But in a multitude of counselors, the scripture says, one grows wise. And so it's smarter to walk with others. It's important for us to learn to walk with others, and we need others to walk with us. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It's on the screen up here. It's very interesting because right after God had created the world and pronounced it all good, he looks down at Eden, that perfect place with that perfect environment where a perfect man is there, and he says, it's not good that man is alone. I get the impression here that God does not like people living in isolation. You know, one of the most cruel things that you can do, or one of the most harsh punishments that can be done to a prisoner, is to put them in solitary confinement. Now, I don't know what that would be like. I've never really experienced a whole lot of time by myself. And I know some people are more experienced and more comfortable being by themselves, but I know this for a fact, and that is the person who's by themselves all the time, pretty soon they begin to miss out on what's best in life. We need each other. And we need to walk with each other and help each other develop and grow in faith. The Bible says that God has an antidote for loneliness. And that antidote for loneliness is he created two groups, one the physical family and one the spiritual family. The physical family is the family you were born into. And the physical family, typically, they grow up and a lot of times they go their own ways. But then there's a spiritual family, and that's the family of God. And the family of God will be together for all eternity. You see, God wants us to walk together. Hebrews chapter 10, we find these words. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, but let us encourage one another. Notice that the scripture says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. In other words, it's not a momentary thing. It's not a surprising thing we get together. It's a regular thing. It's a habit. And he says, don't give up that habit of being together because we were created for community. You know what I've discovered is you can be in a crowd and you can still be lonely. I remember when I first transferred to the University of Georgia. Go Bulldogs. Yeah, there's a couple of y'all say yeah. All right, there's a whole lot more Gator and Seminole fans in here than Dog fans. We know that. But you know, when I first transferred to Georgia, I knew a few people there. But I can remember riding on that bus, going to one side of the campus to go to the class that I was to go to. And I can remember being on that bus, crowded with people, and yet feeling so alone. Being in a crowd is no guarantee that you're not going to feel lonely. And this is important to remember because listen to me, sometimes people come to church and all they do is go to the worship service. And usually if all you do is go to the worship service, you really are not able to develop those close relationships with people that you need. It's in the small group. We gather together in worship services to have large group celebration and worship the Lord. But listen, honestly, we can't really talk to each other in here. We can't really express our concerns and our needs. We can't all talk at the same time, and that's not what large group worship celebration is all about. We're here not even to make ourselves feel better, folks. Understand, when we come to worship, we're here to worship God and to hear a word from Him. Worship is not to be man-centered, it's to be God-centered. And we need to remember that when we gather to worship. But the Bible tells us that God wants us to be connected, to walk together, and community is God's answer to loneliness. Community, being together. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and this is in the Message translation, that's on the screen. When you gather, each one of you be prepared with something useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. Take your turn with no one person taking over. That way you will learn from each other. Now the question that I asked this morning, is that what we do in here? Can we do that in here? I mean, in reality, we can't do that in here. Where does that have to take place then? It has to take place in the small group. That's why we have Sunday connection classes, Sunday school. That's why we have weekday Bible study groups that meet. And you need to get plugged into that because as you walk with each other, you grow in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. As each part does its work, it helps the other parts grow. So Christ's whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And when every part in the church does its part, the church grows and it grows in love. And that's what we want. But it only happens when everyone does their part. Well, community is God's answer to loneliness. And we need to understand that. Being together, that's what it's all about. Now, I want to move to the second point now. And I want to just say that another reason why we need each other is because we need others to work with us. We need others to walk with us. And secondly, we need others to work with us or to work with me. Ephesians chapter 2:10 says, God has made us to do good works which He planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. That is exciting. God's got some good works for us to do. He's given us some talents. He's given us some abilities. Listen, every single person in here, you listening? Every one of you. God planned you. He planned the place you would be born. He planned the talents and the spiritual gifts that He would give you. He allowed you to be born into the home that you're born in, the location that you're born in. And God has a purpose for your life. And somehow or another, God takes all of that background and all of that that's you, and He uses that. He's planned in advance for you to walk in those good works. God has that thought to each one of you. And we need to understand that in the body of Christ, in the church, that we need others to work with us, because not every one of us can do everything. You know, the reality is that when one person tries to do everything, they just get worn out. Anybody ever been there? Some of y'all are here this morning, you're worn out because you've been trying to do everything. God put us in the body of Christ so that we might work as a team together, so that we might serve together. And yet I know the reality is that we're prone to do that in this world. We're prone to get worn out. And if we're not careful, we can become exhausted. And we can get cranky. And if you're like me, you're going to struggle with that. When you get tired, you get cranky. And then you pray for those around you to have a lot of grace in their lives. But you know, sometimes we just think to ourselves, man, I just can't do it all. And we get worn out. It's like this candidate for the police department I heard about. This guy was up there taking his exam to be a police officer, and he came across this question. And the question was, you're on patrol in the outer city when an explosion occurs in a gas main at a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath, and there's an overturned van nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of the chief of police, who is presently away on vacation. Well, there's a passing motorist that stops by, and the passing motorist offers to give you assistance, and you realize that this is a man who's wanted for armed robbery. Getting exciting here, huh? Suddenly, there's a man who comes running out of a nearby house, and he's shouting that his wife is expecting a baby, and that the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. You hear a sound, and you notice another man is crying for help, and he was blown into the adjacent canal by the explosion, and he cannot swim. And the question ends up with these words. Describe in a few words what actions you would take.
Help.
Well, this young man who was taking this test, he thought about it for just a moment. He picked up his pen and he wrote these words. I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd. You know what? Well, we might want to do that sometime. It might seem overwhelming to us, and certainly life is overwhelming. Ministry is overwhelming. And just being the kind of person that we ought to be is overwhelming. And that's why we need other believers to serve and minister and work with us. God put us together to be a part of a team that could do great things for the kingdom of God. And our church is a church that ought to be busy serving together, doing great things for the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 4, we see this verse, two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. Did you realize that at West Point, that service academy where men and women go to gain a university education and then they go on to serve their country as officers in the military? Do you realize that at West Point they have a system set in place so that they can feed 4,000 cadets in 15 minutes time? Now that is amazing. And they do that 3 times a day. They feed 4,000 cadets in 15 minutes. You know how they do that? They do that because every person has a responsibility, and they do their job. And as they do their job, they get everybody fed. Well, you know what? In the church of God, as every part does its work, the church grows in love. I'm going to tell you something. That's what we need. Every member plugged in, serving, working together. I can make a difference. Maybe I can make a difference. But I want to tell you something. When you have a lot of people working together, they can make a lot of difference. Rick Warren says this. I like this little saying. He says, snowflakes are frail, but if enough of them stick together, they can stop traffic. We've seen that a lot on the TV lately, haven't we? We haven't seen it down here, praise God. It's been other places. When we were up in Missouri, we ran into a lot of that. Listen, God expects us to work together. And by the way, community, as we come together and we experience community together, we walk with each other and we work together, community then is God's answer to fatigue. Are you tired? Well, get a team together. Work with others. You do your part and they'll do theirs. And we work together. Thirdly, I want you to see this. Another reason why we need each other. We need each other because we need folks to walk with us. We need each other because we need folks to work with us. Thirdly, we need each other because we need others to watch out for us. Or I need others to watch out for me in life. Reality is that we need somebody to watch out for us. Look out for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Look at this passage. Look out for one another's interests, not just your own. In other words, Christians are to live their lives not just totally absorbed in self-interest. You know, every now and then we have little things that come up in church and we have to figure out how we're going to accommodate different groups in the body of Christ. You know, you have the young, then you have the older, and you have the in-betweens and all in between that as well. And the reality is that in church we have to learn to come together and not just be concerned about me, myself, and I, but be concerned about we. I always tell people in marriage counseling that if you really want to have a good marriage, base your decisions not on what's best for you, but what's best for we, or for the usness of our marriage. And when husbands and wives do that, then their lives are a whole lot better. We need people to watch out for us. Sometimes you'll go in a community somewhere and you'll see these signs up that say neighborhood watch. Y'all seen these neighborhood watch signs? And it's important because, you know, when we want our neighbors looking out for us and looking out, and perhaps if you went on vacation or you go on vacation, sometimes maybe you'll tell your neighbors, hey, I'm headed out of town for a few days. Can you watch my place and just keep an eye on things? And that's important for us because Lord knows, I think probably nearly all of us in here have had things happen when we've been gone your way. And your stuff is really important. But can I tell you this morning that your stuff is not nearly as important as your soul? And you need to be connected in a small group with God's people, because you need people to help watch out for your soul. It doesn't mean that you have to surround yourself with a lot of people that are always trying to tell you what to do. Matter of fact, that might wear you out if all you got is people around you telling you what you ought to do and what you should do and this. But you need to have somebody in your life who can say, maybe in the phrase of Mr. James Moore, who recently passed, bless his heart, dear soul, he would say something like this: what you just said, that just don't sound right to me. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you need to rethink your position. And there are times in life when we need somebody like that to come to us and say, look, a good Christian brother or sister in the Lord who's concerned about our soul development, our growth in the Lord, our purity in Christ, our love for the brotherhood, and they need to say, look, you need to rethink this a little bit. Jesus died for your soul, for your life. You need people around you like that. And we need that. People that will look out not only for their interests, but look out for the interests of others. We need people to watch out for us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1. This is this passage that's on the screen up there. It says, "Keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should." Notice it says, "Keep being concerned." And if you've got that little note guide with you this morning, you'll see that scripture verse printed right there. Why don't you just circle that word "keep"? Keep being concerned about each other. And then you'll see Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I need others to watch out for me. I need others to be with me in that time of trial. I need others to be with me in that time of accountability. You know, iron sharpens iron. As one man sharpens another, so iron sharpens iron. And we need, there's wisdom in many counselors. We need each other. We need to watch out for each other. Community, it's important. And community is God's answer to defeat. Community is God's answer to defeat. Sometime back, there was the story of a young mountain climber who was climbing on some rocks, and I've forgotten the name of the guy now, but he was climbing on some rocks, and he was by himself, and he fell. And when he fell, and his arm got wedged into a boulder, underneath the boulder. You remember that story? And the long and the short of that story was that he was going to die unless he cut off his own arm. And this young guy cut off his own arm to prevent death. Rick Warren writes about that and says, even the pros need help from time to time. We need somebody to watch out for us. I mean, you might have a busted taillight, right, on your car. But if nobody's behind you, they don't see it. You might get a ticket. So you need others. You need community. You need to be together. You need each other because we need someone to watch out for us. And community is God's answer to defeat. Fourthly, let me just share with you. We need others, and this is so vitally important. I need others to wait and to weep with me. There are times in life when we are going through some deep water, some kind of tragedy in our life, some kind of difficulty in our life. And these are people who will sit with us and they will wait with us. And then when we get the bad news, they will weep with us. We need people like that in our lives when there's a tragedy in our lives. That's what God brings the church together over and over. I hear people say, well, I can't imagine what life would be like. And I don't know how people get through these kind of things without a good church family. And I agree. You need God's people with you. And you're waiting on those test results. You shouldn't have to be alone and wait on those things. You need God's people, God's encouragement when you're sitting in a surgery waiting room and someone's facing a life and death surgery in your family, your loved one, whoever it might be, you need to have someone with you. Nobody should be alone having to wait to hear a word about a battle on a battlefield to know if your loved one is safe. Nobody should stand at the edge of an open grave alone. Folks, there are just times in life when the sorrows come and the grief flows. And the Bible is so clear that we in the body of Christ, that we are to be there for each other in those times. And this is why we need to have a small group of people around us to help build a safety net to help us in times of need. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, this is out of the Living Bible. It says, you should be like one big family full of sympathy toward each other. how we should be. Now, you know, it's kind of hard to express sympathy to people when all you do is show up in a worship service, right? Rick Warren tells a story about a guy who came to their church, and in Rick Warren's words, he sat up in the bleachers every Sunday that he came. He never got plugged into a small group, a Sunday school class or a life group class. He never made any contacts with those people around him. And he showed up and he was there, and then he left, and that was it. Rick Warren said that one day he ended up having some physical difficulties, went to the hospital and was there for a couple of weeks. And while he was there, Rick Warren was gone off somewhere. And when he got back, he heard about it, and he went to visit the guy. And the guy told him, he said, "I will never be back to your church. Your church is so unloving. No one came to visit me." And Rick Warren said he apologized to the guy, said he was sorry. But then he also said these words. These are his words. He said, "At the same time, I thought to myself, it's your own fault." Now, folks, people may not like to hear that. But you know what? If you don't get connected with a small group of believers, if they don't know your name, and you don't know their name, and you don't do something to try and get connected, then you should not be surprised. Nobody knows you. See, it's important for us, and we need others to be there for us, but we have to take the initiative to get plugged in some way, somehow. And I'll tell you, it's a hurtful thing to a pastor when he hears those kind of words. But sometimes people just need to think about their responsibility in that matter. Uh-oh, what's happening here? Is it time for me to quit? All right, I'm moving on. We're moving on. Quickly. First Corinthians chapter 12, this is so important. It's on your note guide there. If one member suffers, all suffer together. See, that's what church is supposed to be about. And you know what? We have a responsibility and an obligation, not just to be there once a week, so to speak, but we have a responsibility to engage with people. And when you get saved, you get put into the body of Christ for a purpose, so that you might connect, and so that you might learn to love, and so that you might learn to give to others. And you know what I found? When you give to others, when you give of yourself to others, typically, they're going to give back to you. Get plugged in. Serve. Watch out for each other. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who are weep." Community is God's answer to despair. Community, being together in the body of Christ. One last thing here, and then we're going to wrap it up this morning. I need you in my life. I need you in my life, folks. I need you in my life because I need you to walk with me, so that I might grow in Christ-likeness, so that I might have someone to work alongside of with me as we do God's work. I need you to watch out for me. There are times, you know what, I'm going to tell you something. This might make you laugh. I hope it's not too irreverent. But you know, I preached an entire sermon one time with my barn door open. Now, those of you who are laughing know what I'm talking about. And there are some who were sitting on the front row, and they were kind of snickering. I think, what's wrong with me on my night? Listen, if I ever do that again, would you please stop me and say, "Pastor, zip it up." We need people to look out for us sometimes. Now, I've reminded you of it. Now, y'all forget about that, okay? We need somebody to watch out for us. And by the way, W.A. Criswell, that godly man of God for 50 years, pastor of First Baptist Dallas, wore a white suit and all that, was a godly man. One time a young preacher boy came to him and said, Dr. Criswell, I start to say Dr. Rossell, but I didn't. I said, Dr. Criswell, what's the last thing you do before you get in the pulpit? And he said, I check my fly, son, I check my fly. Good advice. Good advice. I need somebody to walk with me. I need somebody to work with me. I need somebody to watch out for me, and you do too. I need someone to wait and weep with me. And lastly, I need others to witness with me. I need others to witness with me. You have a life message to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. It's a unique and it's an individual thing. And God put you here on this world to do that, to win others to faith in Christ, to win others to the life that God calls for you to have, to help ease the burden, to lead others to the love of God through the love of His people. And we are to be His disciples, and we are to lead others to faith in Christ. I'm so excited about our emphasis on community ministries. You know, we've had great community ministries here for a long time. Our Caring Hands ministry has done such a fabulous job. But I'm excited because we're going to expand that this year. We're looking forward to having parenting classes and doing things to help reach other people for the cause of Christ. And not just to go out and try to reach the up-and-coming or the already been there or the beautiful and the, you know, and the charismatic. We want to reach everybody that we can for Christ. Because I can tell you, the communities are dying all around our churches these days. You know why that is? It's called sin. And it's called being lost. And it's called living a lost lifestyle. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And it's not just life in heaven. It's abundant life right now. And we need to turn it loose as much as we can so that others experience that eternal, abundant life. And it happens as we love each other and love our community. Now, you know, one reason why we need others to witness with us is because there's power in a corporate witness. Take your look at your note guide this morning. You'll see there John chapter 13, you'll see this verse here. John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's the New Living Translation. In other words, as we love each other, as we love as we ought to love, it becomes a powerful testimony to the world that we're disciples of Jesus Christ. You know what? This church will probably never be known for... it'll probably never be known ultimately because it has a beautiful building. Or because they have just an awesome music program, although I think we do. Or because we have great preachers in our church, although I think we do have some great preachers. But you know what? We'll never really be known to the community for those things, but what we will be known to the community for is whether or not we love each other. Amen. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I want to be known as a church that has love for one another. Your lesson this morning in Sunday school was about love, and the greatest thing is love. And folks, if we're not known for love, then we might as well just, you know, it's like a clanging cymbal. It's just kind of empty. Let us be known for love, and we need others to witness with us as we love one another. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. Learn to love. Love others. God's answer to fear, this is the last blank, the last fill in the blank, and all God's people said amen. Okay, you didn't have to be so fervent about that. Come on, guys. God's answer to fear is community. Community, being together, doing life and love together. Philippians 1:27, one last verse. You are working together and struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. That's our goal. To work side by side to get others to believe the good news. We need each other. This morning, maybe this morning, you not only sense your need for God's people, but maybe this morning you sense a need for God Himself. I want to invite you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins, and He rose from the grave, and by all accounts, He's the only one I know who ever promised that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only one who can get us the forgiveness we need and the entrance into heaven. And not only did He die for our sins, but He rose again. And maybe this morning you'd like some more information about how you can come to know Him, how you can be connected to Him. I want to be here to help you with that. Maybe this morning, maybe the decision you need to make this morning is a fresh decision to reunite and reconnect with the people of God. Not just for large group worship, but also for small group fellowship. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not the right time for you, but you know what? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, the Scripture says. And I would encourage you to connect with God's people. So however God leads, maybe this morning you just need to come to this altar and you need to pray. Come, it's open. But however God is leading you, whatever decision you need to make, we're here, we want to help you. And so Brother Mark is going to come lead us in a time of decision. And as he comes to lead us, I'm going to be here to receive you this morning. We have others that are able to receive you this morning, and they'll be here if we need them to be. But let's all join our hearts together. First of all, let's stand up, and let's join our hearts together in prayer, and then you come as God leads. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful group that's here today. What a blessing they are to my heart. And I pray for those individuals now, Lord, that need a special urging and nodding from you, Lord. Perhaps this morning there's someone here that needs to find pardon and forgiveness in you, Lord, and a new life in you. Lord, direct them, lead them to that place of decision. And Father, maybe this morning the need is for that lonely soul just to come back into the fold and get connected as they ought, for their good and for the blessing of the church. And Lord, for your joy and celebration. Father, whatever the need might be, Lord, please help us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.